Vikings purple past on the Fan.
Bumps it out to the left of the 15. Sprints inside the 5. Touchdown!
Now, celebrating the great past years of Vikings football, here's the Fan's Mark Rosen.
And good evening, everyone. Mark Rosen, your host. Welcome to another edition of Vikings Purple Past, and it's my pleasure to introduce one of my best buds that I had a chance to work with for his many years with the Minnesota Vikings, going back to the 1992 season. Super Bowl champion quarterback with the Tampa Bay Bucks, the one and only Brad Johnson. Brad, good evening. Thanks for joining with us tonight.
Oh, I appreciate you having me on, Mark.
Well, it's been a while. You're down in your home. You're down in Athens, Georgia. And how's retirement? I use that word loosely. How's retirement treating Brad Johnson?
Retirement is busy. I thought it'd be easy, but the times I'm Mr. Mom taking carpooling the kids to school, and then I'm coaching high school JV basketball, which is something I always wanted to do. And then I'm coaching two fifth grade basketball teams, coaching my kids. And I coached a fifth grade football team this year. We went 8-0.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a fun year, but I stay busy with the kids. I play a lot of tennis and racquetball, and you name the sport, I play it. But I just stay busy. My wife, she set up a photography business, but we really spend a lot of time at the school that we're at, and just kind of volunteer doing everything.
Is this the life that you wanted, and you sort of projected when you were after your last year with the Dallas Cowboys in 2008?
Yeah, I didn't. When I finished my career, I was banged up. I didn't have anything in my knee, and my body was just done.
Yeah.
And you think you can still go, and at that time, my body was just shot. And just all the wear and tear of playing, and then just the workouts and all that. But I enjoyed my career, and I don't look back at it with any regrets. But I've always, my goals, I look back, I wrote down a bunch of goals back in college, and one of the things I wanted to do was coach high school basketball. And I just think about the mentors I had growing up, and from my football coach, Kenny Ford, my basketball coach, Bill Burrows. They had a big, a pivotal part in my life.
Mm-hmm.
As far as growing up. And I knew I wanted to be around kids, and especially my boys, Max and Jake. I'm coaching all their, youth sports, from football, baseball, and basketball. And I got a group of fifth graders here. I want to coach them all the way through their high school careers, and see what happens with them.
Is that the extent of the coaching buzz? Or do you have any other aspirations? Do you like the level, the youth level? Or would you want to be a college or a professional coach someday?
No. I've had enough stress trying to win ball games. And
yeah.
I'm not sure I really want to get into recruiting and the politics of the whole deal. I got four or five little quarterbacks, high school quarterbacks. One actually went to college last year, that I spent kind of working with on an individual time and just kind of helping those kids out on the side. But I'm doing exactly what I want to do. And, I just really just dealing with my kids and my wife. It's important. A lot of people, they stay busy and they want to get into TV and broadcasting and
sure.
commentating on games. And that's just something I never had. I really aspired to do. So I'm excited every day when I wake up doing what I do and spend a lot of time with these kids.
Well, you would have been a natural at it, I can tell you that, having worked with you many years ago here. It would have been easy for you to do that, but I can certainly understand the kind of satisfaction you get out of what you're doing right now. Speaking of quarterbacks, no one is more familiar with Christian Ponder than, I think, Brad Johnson after his run at Florida State. You went, of course, with the Florida State. He's starting now for the Vikings. He'll be playing the Packers next Monday night. What are your thoughts about Christian's development, what you've seen from him, the transition, and where he's at right now for the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, obviously, I kept up with him, being a Florida State quarterback. And then where we lived, when I played for the Cowboys, my kids actually played youth football at his high school at Collierville. And so we had heard all the stories about him. I met him briefly and just kept up his career. And I know the head coach, Jimbo Fisher,
mm-hmm.
Playing for him. I knew his background as far as, understanding football was going to be there. And I think the biggest thing for Christian, really, at Florida State now, even the pros, is just showing durability. Athletically, I think he's shown that already. He has enough arm to make all the throws, and he's smarter than all of us. I graduated 2.5 years. But I really think, the greatness of quarterbacks, when you look at guys from Kurt Warner, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers, Eli, Steve McNair, Vic, myself, Carson Palmer, all those guys, they sat at some point. They weren't just thrust into playing like the Peyton Manning. Some guys are ready, some guys aren't, and obviously, it's just a brief stint, being 5 or 6 games. But it does give him a break, especially because there were no OTAs and
mm-hmm.
short kind of training camp deal. So I'm excited for Christian, and I think he's ready to to take it, you know, take off with it. He's won his first game being a starter, so it's kind of fun to see.
So playing Monday morning quarterback, do you think it would have been too much too soon, given the lockout and the fact that the NFL did not start with the OTAs and whatnot, and the Vikings brought in, obviously, Donovan McNabb. That did not work out. That it would have been almost too much for Christian Ponder. The Viking fans might look back and go, well, if we'd started him early on, we may not have blown those two games at home. We may have won three, four more games by now.
Hindsight's 20-20 kind of thing, but I think you can run some quarterbacks sometimes when they're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't think that's the I think that when you think of that list of quarterbacks I gave you.
There's
some great quarterbacks. Four or five of them have won Super Bowls, and they didn't play right away. And sometimes you may lose in just the quick end of it. Maybe you didn't win the first few games like you wanted to. But when you look back at those games, the Vikings had, you know, 20-point leads at halftime, those kind of things. I don't think that was a mistake. I think, you know, Christian can learn from those things, and you know, it just didn't work out for Donovan in that situation. But I really think, you know, they are where they are now. You've got a quarterback that you can grow with, and it'll be fun to see how he matures over time. And the biggest thing now is, you know, everyone, you know, he's a young guy being a rookie, how his leadership skills can carry over, you know, being a young guy in the huddle, you know, only 2 weeks really into it.
And yet, you know, this, the money many times dictates that teams feel the pressure to play rookie quarterbacks, whether it's a Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, who's having more success than I think anyone anticipated at Cincinnati. You know, guys can't come out and play right away and play at a level. Whether or not they hit the wall at some point during the season remains to be seen. Now, Cam's team is not winning a lot of games, but he's certainly, I think, meeting or if not exceeding expectations.
I mean, it's happening for those guys, Cam and Andy, but when you look at the long haul of those list of quarterbacks I listed, and just, you know, the stability of a quarterback and the stability of an organization, I really think just the way it was handled was probably the way it probably should have been handled. And, you know, there's some games probably got away from the Vikings that could have given them a better record at the time. And but, you know, right now, the record is what it is, and you got to move on with it. You got a quarterback. You made a big investment in him, being drafted that early, 11th or 12th pick in the draft, and you found a guy. So that's something to be excited about. And, you know, hopefully everyone can, you know, jump on Christian's bandwagon and pull for him and get him through this whole deal this rookie year. So you know, there's a lot of great players in Minnesota, and just, you know, they got to find a way through it right now.
Talking to Brad Johnson, former quarterback with the Minnesota Vikings, of course, Super Bowl champion with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Can you build an NFL team around a young quarterback when you still have obvious holes at other positions? And the Vikings, like many other teams, have issues right now. You could say defensive back, wide receiver, don't have a Randy Moss. They don't have that kind of a guy, Chris Carter. You know, maybe some other spots, the offensive line. But is that the necessary spot you can build around and have some success? Because you really don't hear teams talk about rebuilding very often in the NFL.
It's a win and now kind of process.
Yeah.
Those coaches are getting fired left and right. So, that's the nature of that business. But when you find a quarterback that you can hold on to, then you need to. That's the thing about Minnesota. Minnesota's had some great quarterbacks over the time, and really, you know, I don't know if anyone really gave them the horns to be the guy, for the long haul. But Christian, they've made an investment in him. So, right now, it is finding those other pieces around them. And then, obviously, just winning some of those close games. If Minnesota right now was 3-4 or 4-3, we wouldn't be having this conversation as far as panicking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those games were to be won already, and just didn't get it done.
You mentioned Christian's academic prowess, and he certainly had success in the football field as well. But, Brad, as someone who's been through the wars, how much the mental aspect of the game, the smarts of the game, the ability to sort of not feel overwhelmed by the game, adds to your arsenal having longevity in the National Football League beyond your physical talents?
I think most everybody at that level can throw the ball. Some can throw a little bit better than others, but I think you want to know who your quarterback is. Who is he? You know, how does he play? Does he manage games? Can he make the critical throws when he has to? Can he make the critical two-minute drive when he has to at the end of the game? You're not going to win every game, but you want a guy that's going to give you a chance to be in every game, and that's what you want to know about your quarterback. And I think some of the thing that goes unknown sometimes is from a GM to a head coach to a player fitting the right system for that kind of player, or is it just a coach that has a system and that's his only system? Can he? You know, that's where you're going to hear the greatness of, you know, the New England Patriots. They can adapt from game to game, from system to system, you know, according to their players. And that's where you're going to find out with Christian. Obviously, he's a smart guy, and he can pick up things fast, and he can make enough throws. I think the biggest thing for him is just going to be the durability, you know, as far as being a young guy. And short and over time, can he stay healthy? And then just leadership skills at an early age. He's going to have that throughout his career, but right now, just, you know, being able to take it, you know, it's a big jump from you know, having an established guy from Diamond and saying, all right, here, rookie, take the reins.
Sure.
And you got to run with it. So that's a big jump.
We're going to talk more with Brad Johnson. Of course, Christian Ponder and the Vikings will have a chance to face Aaron Rodgers and the unbeaten Green Bay Packers next Monday night at Lambeau Field. I'll get Brad's thoughts about that matchup and a lot more about his memories of the Minnesota Vikings right after this. Stay with us. And welcome back to Vikings Purple Pass. We're chatting with Vikings, former Viking quarterback Brad Johnson, who had a couple stints here with the Vikings from 1992 through 98, and then back here in 2005 and 2006 seasons as well, and winning the Super Bowl at the Tampa Bay Bucks and Tony Dungy. And right before I went to the commercial break, Brad, we're talking about Christian Ponder's next game, next Monday night against the unbeaten Packers, who, to me, are a little reminiscent of the 1998 Vikings in that, we don't care about our defense. We'll give up 38 points. Try to outscore us. I mean, that's sort of what you're seeing. And what are you seeing from Aaron Rodgers? Because he's hitting some numbers that very few quarterbacks have hit so far.
Aaron is off the charts right now. Uncharted waters for a quarterback. I mean, you know, obviously yesterday I think he had four touchdowns and only five incompletions. I was with Aaron this past spring down at Kurt Warner Flag Football Charity Event, and just being around him, just, you know, kind of a cool customer, very, you know, great. Great social skills, easy manner with everybody. You can see how great he was, just, you know, his easiness with everyone. And he knew he was good, but he was a very humble guy about it. And he can make any throw that you wanted to. And that was a unique thing about it. A lot of guys have one pitch. He can throw the fastball, and he can throw, look people off, make all the throws that you want to, play under, deal with any kind of situation, from dealing with the blitzes, the third down situations, the red zone, just do it time and time again. You know who you have in that quarterback, and they built around him, and it's fun to watch him play the position. And defensively, I probably, those guys in Green Bay don't get enough credit, because even, like, if you look at the San Diego game yesterday, they did give up two touchdowns, but, mm-hmm. I mean, they gave up some points, but they did score two touchdowns off picks, and then
right.
had to pick at the end of the game. They are opportunistic with, you know, making plays, turnovers, and scoring with them. So, they probably don't get enough credit with what they do also.
You mentioned Aaron Rodgers, kind of his social skills. I mean, I think they were probably not really recognized when he was going through the Brett Favre soap opera and saga, when he was waiting for Brett and all the stuff that was going on. And you look back on it now, and certainly Brett had his success here a few years ago when he almost led the Vikings to the Super Bowl. But Rodgers must have been one cool customer to handle it and all the drama that was surrounding Brett Favre, especially in Green Bay during that time.
I mean, you've never heard him say anything during that time. You haven't heard him say anything after that time, you know, as far as winning Super Bowl and trying to throw in anybody's face. But both of them were great quarterbacks, obviously. And when Green Bay made that choice to go to Aaron, it says something about him. A guy that had never really played before. One year he had a broken ankle up there. And if you earn your stripes in practice, and eventually they'll see the talent that you have. And he's a little bit of a late bloomer. I mean, obviously he wasn't the first pick of the draft. He wasn't really, heavily recruited in college. And then he kind of earned his way, you know, sitting on the bench for the first 3 years, and he was ready when his opportunity came. So,
well, there are a lot of,
he is most fun quarterback to watch right now.
Oh, yeah, and there are a lot of what-ifs. I mean, I think a lot of teams looked at Randy Moss, you know, back in 98 when the Vikings drafted him down the road. And there were some other personal maybe issues involved with that. But look at Aaron Rodgers. The Vikings passed on him twice that draft, I think, with both Troy Williamson and Erasmus James, among other teams that had a chance to draft a franchise quarterback when the Vikings were sort of looking for one after, you know, kind of the Culpepper era was going down.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to miss. I mean, a lot of teams passed on him, so who knows what every team was going through at that time. But Green Bay saw something in him to draft him, and they've done a great job throughout the years as far as drafting, you know, having quarterbacks on that team, on that roster, from Mark Brunell and Ty Detmer had a long career, and then obviously Aaron Rodgers and Kurt Warner, and I mean, the list kind of goes on, I guess, with Matt Hasselbeck. They've had an art to picking quarterbacks maybe late in the draft or you know, that kind of thing, and seeing the future that they kind of grooming guys and either getting trade picks out of them or grooming Aaron like that.
Well, Aaron already has his championship belt. He's going for another one. You know what that's like when a quarterback gets defined, Brad. You got your Super Bowl championship with the Tampa Bay Bucks in the 2002-2003 season, and then you had a chance to play with Dallas as well. And Tony Romo's maybe in that category right now as a guy who's – you know, they look at him as got a lot of skill sets, and he's got a lot of things going for him, yet he hasn't been able to get over the hump. Tell us, and you know, Tony, you played with him at Dallas, sort of what he's going through, and his, maybe a comparison with Aaron Rodgers in terms of his mindset.
I really enjoy being around Tony. Tony was an unbelievable playmaker, can make any throw, can make anything happen in the pocket. You know, something bad, there's a breakdown in protection, he can make a play. And, it, you know, the whole thing comes down with Tony is his career numbers are really off the charts. Completion percentage and touchdowns to interceptions and winning percentage and those type things. His biggest deal is, you know, what do you do in that critical moment? And there's going to be critical moments for every quarterback. And, you know, obviously it goes back to the, you know, he had the thing with about holding the field goal and then against Seattle. And then, you know, he had a blow up, you know, this year against, I guess, the Jets. And there might have been one other game. So he's had a couple blow ups. But when you play in Dallas, the media is more.
Uh-huh.
I don't think people really understand that. So a lot of quarterbacks may have made that same mistake. But being in Dallas is just, it gets compounded, you know, tenfold. So it kind of becomes more. But as far as the playmaking abilities and what he can do, his smarts, it's fun to watch Tony play also. But he just has to do it more. That's what I was talking about earlier, just doing it on a who is your guy and doing it day in and day out and not, you know, he gives his team a chance to win. He just had a few blow-ups where he's lost, where maybe Aaron Rodgers hasn't so far.
What comes to mind when you think back to your I want to go back to your original stint with the Vikings, Brad Johnson. You were a ninth-round pick, and then your 227th pick, I believe, if there was such a thing in the National Football League, and you climbed your way up the charts, and it culminated with your Super Bowl win, but it also culminated with your success here in Minnesota. And unfortunately, the 98 season with the 15-1 year, you suffered a couple of really serious injuries and ended up having to back up and be a spectator to Randall Cunningham in what was going to be kind of the Vikings year. What comes to mind when you think about the teammates you had here and those experiences you had here, Brad?
My first 7 years, I think we made the playoffs 6 out of 7 years. I mean, the players on that team, the teams were unbelievably talented. You know, you think of the guys that made Hall of Fame, like Gary Zimmerman, Randall McDaniel, John Randall, Warren Moon, eventually Chris Carter should be, Randy Moss should be. Head coaches from, you know, Jack Del Rio to Mike Tice as players. Think about the head coaches that we had at the time. Tyrone Willingham went on to be a head coach. Brian Billick went on to win a Super Bowl. Tony Dungy went on to win a Super Bowl. I mean, there was greatness there. We just didn't get to reap the rewards by winning the Super Bowl with those great teams and great players. But I have great memories of that. And unfortunately for me in 98, I had the neck injury. I broke my ankle. I broke my thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And I helped us win 3 games that year. But you know, I just wasn't healthy enough to even play that year. I was on IR for 12 games that year, I believe. So, or 11 games, something like that. But
But
I just think about the great talent, the great players, and I really enjoyed living in Minnesota. It was a great time of my life.
Did you think you would get that chance even after you had a great season in 99 with the Washington Redskins, and then, you know, things went downhill for a little bit. Tampa Bay brings you in 2001. You reunited with Tony Dungy. You know, you broke team records for passing yards, completions, the whole nine yards, and then you have that magical season with a great defense. But were there times you thought, you know, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to get back up to the mountaintop here?
Well, I always kind of live by the quote, you know, it's better to be prepared and not have an opportunity than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. And so I knew I wasn't ever going to run my mouth. I knew when I was going to get a chance at some point. And I earned that time. I led 3 different organizations to the playoffs. And, you know, and eventually I was able to win a Super Bowl. So I think, you know, with the career numbers I put up and winning Super Bowl, it all kind of matched out. But maybe I didn't get the spotlight as some of the other guys did. But I felt like I was a late bloomer. Obviously, I came there. I played behind Rich Gannon, Jim McMahon, Warren Moon.
Jeez.
And I just think of the great times that I had there at Minnesota. It's just hard to get a chance and to be successful in the league by, you know, where were you drafted? And then where's your contract status at different points? So, but I'm thrilled about my career the way it all happened, and I have no regrets about anything.
Do the kids ask you to show that Super Bowl ring out once in a while, or bring it out to show it, or is it hidden away somewhere?
It's just they don't care.
They don't
you know, they it's in a drawer. I mean, the only time
Come
you
on.
Wear it is when you if I'm speaking somewhere instead
sure.
of for show and tell. But really the. The kids, they're really more interested about their games and them playing and me just coaching them. They don't want to hear me talk about myself. They just want to have fun with themselves. So, We kind of let that live in the past.
Yeah, you are. I know you're a big basketball fan, and this is how you got your start as well. You're a big basketball player, and I mean, are you anxious for the NBA to kind of get themselves settled and get back on the court? Or are you more of a college basketball fan?
Yeah, you kind of get into the pro thing. It's for everybody, you know, the playoffs. That's kind of when everybody kind of watches it. It's a shame what's happening right now. That's where I think you got to give a lot of credit to the NFL. Everyone was together and had a great thing going, and they weren't going to let the holdout go into the season. So it's unfortunate what's happening for, you know, for those players and organizations and definitely the fans. So, but I'd be excited when those guys get back to playing again.
You mentioned at the beginning you were kind of beaten up. There are a lot of your contemporaries who are feeling the aches and pains and then some. I'm sure you have some friends who you played with as well are having some of those issues. And is that going to be a continuing concern? You look at the games, watch the game on Sunday night, the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, and there are flags flying all over the place. Hines Ward walks off the field with a concussion. Did you guys talk much about concussions during that time, and was that an issue?
You know, I think back to my career. I think about how many shots I took, how many cortisone shots, how many Toradol things I went through, how many painkillers. I mean, it's a brutal sport, and at the time, you're just playing.
Yeah.
But now I walk with a limp. I mean, it's tough. It's tough when I get up in the morning. It really is. And now, you know, those rules are made, and those rules are in for the health of the players. And it's unfortunate sometimes, and the flags are thrown, and people get, you know, they get upset about the flag that's being thrown. But eventually, you have to live your life after that career is over. A lot of those careers are short, but the only thing I really complain about is the amount of the fines. I think they're a little bit too steep.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I think if you took away playing time and those kind of things, it might change a little bit for the players. But for the players' safety and health is, I think that's first. I think that comes first.
In our last minute here, Brad, do you look at the Packers as being a super team? Do you have any feelings that is there anyone in the NFC that could the 49ers have a resurgence? Do you look at this as sort of Green Bay season again and Super Bowl or bust right now for the Packers?
Well, right now, I mean, obviously they got a big lead, and you got to give it. You know, really, when you think about the Super Bowl teams, they really, how good do they play after Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
And how do they go through the things? And last year, really, they were a team that kind of just got hot right at the end, and got themselves in the playoffs, and they were healthy. That's the big thing for every team that goes into it. And you know, right now for them, they just got to get through the win, you know, through the whole season, and hopefully they'll have home field advantage for themselves. But you never know. You go through a spurt, you can lose a few games, you lose confidence, players get hurt. So right now, you know, who knows what's going to happen till it's time to play them deep in the playoffs. And the home field advantage is key for those guys to get.
Well, the Vikings will find out next Monday night. They play at Lambeau Field, and what a great place to play. If you don't get excited about playing football at Lambeau Field, there must be, or be attending the game there, there's something wrong with you. It's quite the place. Brad Johnson, great to catch up with you. We so appreciate your time, and good luck coaching those kids, and we'll hope to catch up with you down the road here again.
I appreciate it, Mark. Thank you.
Always good to talk to you. Brad Johnson here, listening to Viking Purple Past here on The Fan. Good evening, everyone.